It is time now for Talkin' Books. We are joined in the studio, as always, by the one and only Susan Brown, librarian emeritus extraordinaire and now head of strategic communications for the town of Chapel Hill, which I'm getting better at remembering every week. Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, and I'm just going to be vulnerable for just a minute
okay,
and share a quick story that might make people question my job in communications.
Yes.
We all have those words that we've only read and not heard pronounced, right? Right?
Is emeritus going to be that word?
You got it, buddy. So it's
you
a word
spend
that
a
I
lot
read.
Of time hanging around academia. You hear the word emeritus a lot.
So I'm an undergrad at Virginia Tech. I was studying history. I'm like a junior. I was a research assistant for a professor who, you know, gave me this opportunity. It was great. And we had a big deal scholar coming in.
Yes.
And I got to introduce them to this small group of undergraduate students. And I'm going to do it more of a country accent than I actually have. But when I go home, my country accent comes out. So I stand up and...
I always know where this is going.
So and so, like, I'm so thrilled to welcome here to the student, you know, group on history in the South or whatever. So and so, Professor Emeritus.
Ooh, Emeritus.
Emeritus. And I could see my professor who I was working with just like that, like, frozen face grin, cringe, wanting to support his student and completely embarrassed by what just happened. Professor Emeritus.
Hey, you weren't majoring in Latin. It's fine.
Thank you.
Yes. Also, who knows how Latin was pronounced?
That's right.
All we
That's
have
right.
are the words on the page. It might have been Emeritus.
Thank you.
It wasn't.
I feel
but it might
it
have
was.
Been.
Most likely not, but anyways.
I was expecting Emeritus. Like,
Emeritus. No, yeah. Emeritus.
Like Emmylou Harris is about to come on stage and you just got really excited.
Oh.
I like it. So what's going on in town? You had a busy day yesterday.
Yeah. So I had the opportunity, and I've done this before in the EOC, but never in this new comms role, to work with, well, so let me back up. I said EOC. That's the Emergency Operations Center.
Yes.
We did not stand one up last night, but whenever there's a storm, some kind of a critical incident, a public safety thing happening, oftentimes the town will stand one up. So we sort of did an informal EOC yesterday, not the full-blown formal when you break out all of the plans and everybody sits in certain chairs and
right.
all of that.
What goes into that decision, like I do it or you do it or you don't do it?
That's really made by Kelly Drayton, who's our emergency management director of emergency management, I think.
Yeah, okay.
In conjunction with our public safety folks.
Gotcha.
So the decision was yesterday to sort of stand up an informal one, knowing that at the drop of a dime, if we needed to, we could flip to that more formal one.
Gotcha.
But I share that because I got to sit in and work on comms along with other folks on the comms team. And it's just a really cool thing to see. Like, it just makes me really proud to live in this town and to work with these folks because, I mean, my job was to put things on the Twitter and the Facebook.
Right.
Everybody else, like, they've got multiple radios. They're all talking. They're talking with Orange County. They're talking with the folks on the ground. Everybody's focused on the safety of the people that live here and the safety of our colleagues. It wasn't too late of a night. I think we all got home like 9:30 or 10.
That's not bad.
Of course, everybody else was out there still working.
Right.
So the police and the fire folks, they were still in the field. Public works folks, transit, like, this is an all hands on deck thing.
Mebane City Council still deciding on Buc-ee's.
Exactly. But it was, there's a lot that goes into preparing for incidents like this, and the times that I get to sit in the room with them, it's like, these are pros who have got our backs, who are looking out for us, who are working with the university, with Orange County, with everybody else. It's really a cool thing to see. And again, My job is to put it out on Facebook and Twitter.
But I like this.
I've got it pretty easy.
I like this, though, because now after like enough storms and, you know, enough like best practices and doing it this way and doing it that way, like it's got to be it's not down to a hard science, but it's down to like a social science. Right. Like you can plug and play a lot of the big decisions.
Yeah.
Right?
And there's a national framework for this called NIMS, which is the National Incident Management System or something. I'm not good with acronyms. And that's what everybody uses. So, you know, they're like every incident is different, but you could be working in Iowa. And if a, you know, severe weather thing happened, everybody's going to be using this NIMS model. That's where people sit in certain seats. They have certain roles. There's reporting and all of that.
Love it. Speaking with Susan Brown, talking emergency communications right now because we just had the storm yesterday. But segueing into talking books, let's talk about stormy books, right?
Stormy books.
Stormy books.
Who's going to sing
storms.
Stormy Weather? Not me. Don't make me do it.
Because I'm not a fan of like old jazz, so I have to confess I don't know the melody. So
just like I can't pronounce fancy academic words, I can't sing on key. My family tells me this all the time. Stormy weather. That's all I know.
That's fine.
Stormy
that's more than
weather.
Me.
Sorry. Yeah. Okay, I should stop.
Well,
we just
lost all of our listeners, so we can say whatever we want to right now. What do you really think about?
Okay, so the first book that came to my mind, thinking about the convergence of communications and weather and storms, is a book from, gosh, this came out like in the early 2000s. It's called Defining the Wind, The Beaufort Ooh. Scale, and How a 19th Century Admiral Turned Science into Poetry.
Nice.
So this is a book about how the Beaufort scale, which is what we use to measure severe weather and hurricanes and all of that, how it came to be. And so it's really more about using language to define science and the world and all of that. It's really, really cool.
I like that like cross between science and the humanities and the way in which they interact and like feed into each other.
Yes. And I just quickly wanted to pull up the Beaufort scale because if you don't know it, it's got like it's a 15 or 16 scale, but the words for it are like, you know, light breeze, gentle breeze.
Yes.
Moderate breeze, fresh breeze. And then you get into gales like fresh gale, whole gale, violent storm. Like there were particular words chosen to supplement the numbers and the like measurement of knots and all of that.
Nice.
So it's kind of nerdy. But
so cool. Is light breeze less than fresh breeze? Is that?
So zero is calm.
Right.
And then you got light air. Light breeze, and then gentle breeze.
Gentle breeze, yeah. But a gentle breeze is harder than a light breeze.
Correct.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Also, fresh gale, if that hasn't been taken as someone's stage name, someone should get on that right now, right?
Yes. I love it. So that's my first pick.
All right. I'm gonna go with a you love, and we've talked about books that are nonfiction but read as if they're fiction.
Yes.
And I'm sure we've talked about
I know what books you are going to recommend.
On three? One, two, three, The Perfect Storm.
Oh, I was going to say Isaac Storm. Oh, The Perfect Storm. That's a good one.
Perfect Storm by Sebastian Younger.
Younger,
yeah. Great, great book. Ends sadly, obviously, because it follows a ship that wrecks, but it's just an amazing book. It reads super fast. It reads like a thriller, which is essentially what it is. Like it's a nonfiction thriller, but it covers the characters on the ship. It covers the characters on the in the town Gloucester, right?
Yeah.
In Massachusetts, the city, the industry, like you learn so much and you learn it through all of these amazing, incredible, like quirky characters.
And it's
like a Northeastern Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, so right. So who wrote Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil?
John Behrens.
Something or other.
Yeah.
But I was also thinking of
another name I have a hard time pronouncing.
Yes. Who wrote, I'm blanking, the Mount Everest book.
Oh,
Krakauer.
Yeah, John Krakauer.
So yep. Younger and Krakauer write that similar kind of, you know, focus on the characters, nonfiction.
Yep. I always have to look it up every time I'm talking about The Perfect Storm because I always want to say it's by Krakauer, but it's not. Like, Into the Wild and Into Thin Air are Krakauer. Perfect Storm is Younger.
Right.
Yeah, right.
And if I had to pronounce his name, if I were introducing him, I'd probably say Sebastian Junger, which is not right.
Right, yes.
So I was going to recommend a novel, but I'm not now, because when we did 1, 2, 3, you said Perfect Storm, and I said Isaac Storm.
Yes.
Which is a book about a, I think it still goes down as the deadliest hurricane in history. Mm. It happened in Galveston, Texas, but it is by Eric Larson, who of course wrote Devil in the White City. Another great nonfiction
author.
Which
I still haven't read.
What?
I still need to read that book. Yeah,
Shut up.
I know.
Come on.
How's Harry Potter going?
Nice there with the book shaming. Thank you.
Everyone's got their book haven't read.
That's right. Yeah. So yes, Eric Larson, if you've read Devil in the White City and his other books, this might have been his first book. Really, really good.
Love it. I've got one more.
Okay.
We might talk about MLK Week next week, but we've got the day coming up. So in honor of that and in keeping with the stormy weather topic for this week, what did God say to Noah after he gave him the rainbow sign?
Oh, gosh.
No more water. The fire next time.
The fire next time.
James Baldwin. Thank you. Love
thank
that one
you.
Too.
Nice. Well done.
And that's Talking Books. Susan Brown, thank you so much.
Thank you.